is on the air. For the great studios of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer in Hollywood, 1936 has been a banner year. Hit after hit, star after star, have been created and delivered to the millions who compose the world's greatest audience. Of these outstanding events, five stand out in bold relief upon a canvas of entertainment achievement. They are...
Event number one. A new star is born as Eleanor Powell dances her way to fame in Broadway Melody of 1936.
Event number two. Critics hailed The Great Ziegfeld as the modern miracle musical of the year.
Event number three. America takes Romeo and Juliet to its heart as roadshow engagements break records from coast to coast.
Event number four. Pearl S. Buck's mammoth drama, The Good Earth, goes into its second year of production.
And now Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer proudly announces event number five, the screen union of two of its greatest stars, Garbo and Robert Taylor, in a graphic and modern version of Alexander Dumas' classic love story, Camille. In the scenes which follow, Garbo appears as Marguerite, Robert Taylor as Armand, and Lionel Barrymore as Armand's father. During a period when France fairly wallowed in wealth and luxury, two careers were the center of great interest. One was the fate of the followers of Napoleon, bold creator of national unrest. The other was the career of Marguerite, beautiful lady of fashion and the romantic apple of every Frenchman's eye. And here we leave the Bonapartists to their political conquests, for it is not with them that our story deals. Camille brings conquest of a softer sort, conquest of the heart, conquest of the lovely Marguerite. The first scene takes place at an opera house in Paris. Masculine hearts thrill with delight as Marguerite strides majestically toward her stage box. At intermission, she is visited by a staunch but bashful admirer, young Armand Duval, whom she mistakenly believes to be the wealthy and influential Baron de Varville.
Fate must have had something to do with this tonight. I've hoped for it so long. You don't believe me?
No.
The first time I saw you was a year and a half ago. You were in an open carriage and dressed in white. I saw you get out and go into a shop in the Place de la Bourse.
Yes, that might have happened. I used to go to a dressmaker in Place de la Bourse.
You were wearing a thin dress with miles of ruffles, a big straw hat, an embroidered shawl, a single bracelet and a heavy gold chain. And, of course, some camellias at your waist.
You have a good memory, haven't you?
The next time was at the Opéra Comique. You were sitting in a box with a fur coat on, and Gaston, a chap whom I know and who knows you, said, Marguerite's been ill. And that hurt me. The next time...
Well, tell me, if all you say is true, why have you never spoken to me before?
Well, in the first place, I didn't know you.
You didn't know me tonight.
But after you smiled at me, I knew you wouldn't mind.
Who are you, anyhow?
My name is Armand Duval.
Armand Duval?
Yes.
I'm not always sincere. One can't be in this world, you know. But I'm not sorry the mistake happened.
Nor am I.
Well, as long as you don't wish to sit down, suppose you go out and buy me some sweets. You can afford a pound of marron glacés, even if you're not rich, Baron Cartier.
A pound of marron glacé is little enough for a seat in this box, madame. I'll not come back with your sweets too soon.
Armand returns with the sweets, but Marguerite has gone, with the man she believed Armand to be. There is but one trace of her left, a lace handkerchief, which Armand pockets with a cynical smile. 6 months later, at a private auction in Paris, Armand suddenly hears his name called.
Armand Buvard. Where are my maraud glacé?
I ate them, madame, 6 months ago. However, I'm glad of this opportunity of returning something belonging to you.
Belonging to me?
Yes, I found it on the floor when I came back.
You kept it always with you?
Yes.
All the time?
All the time, like an old friend. To remind me that I'm not the Baron de Barville.
That's not a very romantic reason.
No, I kept it as a warning against romance.
Is that why you've never taken the trouble to call on me?
Perhaps.
Would you care to come to a party I'm giving tomorrow night? It's my birthday.
Aren't you afraid you're not strong enough yet to give parties?
I'm afraid of nothing except being bored.
Thank you. I'll come with pleasure. And I'll bring this little book as a birthday present. Have you read it?
No, I never read anything. What is it?
Manon Lescaut.
Who's she?
A beautiful girl who lived for love and pleasure.
Marguerite's birthday party becomes a boisterous revelry and taxes her frail health. She retires to her room for solitude. Armand, deeply affected by her obvious illness, follows her.
So you really like to take care of me?
Yes.
All day, every day?
All day, every day. Why not?
Why should you care for a woman like me? I'm always nervous or sick or sad or too gay.
But I do care for you.
You know what you should do? Just get married. Come now. You're young and sensitive. What company you're in tonight doesn't suit you at all.
No, you?
No. These are the only friends I have, and I'm no better than they are. However, I've given you some very good advice. Now let's go back. What? What am I going to do with you?
One has ever loved you as I love you.
That may be true, but what can I do about it? I should go away. And don't see me anymore. But don't go in anger. Well, why don't you laugh at yourself a little as I laugh at myself and come and talk to me once in a while in a friendly way?
That's too much and not enough. Believe in love, Marguerite.
I don't think I know what it is. But what?
Never having been in love.
Oh, funny.
Tonight, laugh at me. But your laughter will cure me. Nothing else seems to.
I believe you're sincere, at least. After all, when one may not have long to live, why shouldn't one have long to live? You see, I'm not laughing anymore.
Send those people away.
I can't.
But I will. I'll tell them you're ill. It's true, you two were to talk with any of me tonight.
If they go, you must go too.
What?
Yes. Come back later alone.
Of Marguerite and Armand finally reach fulfillment. She has taken a small cottage in the country and Armand a room in a nearby inn. But their happiness is threatened when one day, as Marguerite is puttering about her little garden, she is surprised by a visit from Armand's father.
I'm sorry your son isn't here, monsieur.
It's just as well. I didn't look forward to seeing him with any pleasure under the circumstances. As a matter of fact, I'm glad to be able to talk to you directly and frankly. You see, I know what's been going on here.
Of course, you don't think me worthy of your son. You're right, I'm not.
No. No woman is worthy of a man's love who's willing to let him ruin himself for her, as you're doing.
I don't know what you've heard, but it isn't true.
Armand has told me himself that he wants to take his modest fortune out of my hands at once. The reason is obvious, isn't it? Can you deny he wants the money for you?
Whatever his reason, I hope you won't let him have it.
I wish I could believe you were sincere, but you're notoriously extravagant.
One changes.
Still, you must live on something.
A few years ago, I lived on bread and soup. I can manage very well without taking anything from my mom.
Yes? How?
I'll be frank, monsieur. Only yesterday I ordered everything I had to be sold, auctioned. So please don't worry any more about the matter.
Well, it seems I've misjudged you in one respect. However, I still say what I came here to say. This affair must end at once.
You might as well save your breath, monsieur.
How long have you known Armand?
3 months and 12 days, monsieur.
3 months and 12 days. And how long do you expect this thing to last?
Oh, you've never known love to last.
Never, when it was unsanctified by marriage, unblessed by children or social ties.
I shall love Armand always. And I believe he shall love me always.
Always?
Always.
Concluding and climactic scenes in Camille build to a crescendo of emotion rarely, if ever, equaled in any motion picture you have seen. No namby-pamby sentiment influences Camille. No single weakness mars its greatness. Ageless as the sea, the intrinsic value of Camille is attested to by the fact that it is considered one of the purest and finest emotional dramas of history, fiction, or legend.
And the cast reads like the blue book of the screen. Garbo, magnificent, tempestuous, lovelier than ever. As Marguerite.
Robert Taylor, again rising to emotional heights to thrill millions as he did in The Gorgeous Hussy with his sterling portrayal of the impetuous, headstrong Armand Duval.
And a supporting cast headed by a star in his own right, Lionel Barrymore, with Elizabeth Allen, Henry Daniel, Jesse Ralph, Lenore Ulrich, and Laura Hope Cruz, all in Camille, a truly great event. Camille was directed by George Cukor, the man who gave you Romeo and Juliet. The music heard on this program was played by the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Orchestra under the direction of Herbert Stoppard.